Open your Bibles with me, would you, please, to Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter. If you have need of a Bible, as always, we have gentlemen here to hand one to you so you can follow along with us. We are in Mark chapter 11. We'll be picking up in verse 20. Bibles in hand. Someone wisely said one time, when your knees are knocking, kneel on them. It's important for us when we get fearful in life, when things get a little unsettled, when things get a little nerve-wracking, it's good for us to get on our knees before the Lord and to pray and to really be seeking the Lord to bring us that comfort, to bring us that answer, to bring us that guidance that we need in our times of difficulties. And I don't know what you're going through this morning. We all are going through something almost every single week, almost every single day. There's something that's on our minds or something that's weighing down our hearts that we're concerned with. And certainly taking that to the Lord in prayer is something we should do as Christians. And it's something God has given to us and that we should do it consistently and constantly. And it's, as I said in the past, prayer is like a muscle that you must exercise and utilize so that you can become more confident in your prayer, more confident in your God. And so perhaps you find yourself in troubling circumstances this morning, and maybe you've received some bad news this week that happens in our lives, and you're just wondering, is there anything that you can do? Is there anything you can do to make a change or to make a difference in the situation that you have? And what's interesting to me that, did you know that not all prayer is offered up to God? Have you ever heard someone say to you, I'm praying good wishes for you, or I'm praying goodwill for you, or I'm thinking good thoughts for you? I mean, it's like they don't know where that is. They're just trying to be nice. They're just trying to be comforting in their time of your situation. But for us as Christians, we get to say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying to God for you. But not all prayers are offered up to God. A number of studies have happened over recent years and found that people who pray seem to have fewer problems, less stress, and get this, lower blood pressure. Found that interesting. It says that even found in a hospital situation that a person who is being prayed for seemed to have more rapid recovery than people who have not been prayed for. So prayer works, right? Prayer is effective. It's just comforting for me to know that there are people praying for me. And it should be comforting to you to know that there's people praying for you. And I've said it before, and every Sunday morning, pretty much, throughout the year, someone comes into this room before service, maybe when worship is going on, and they're laying hands on each and every one of these chairs and praying for you. Maybe not by name, because they don't know where you sit. Of course, most of you sit in the same seat, so we probably could. But these chairs have been prayed for. Why? We want God to speak to your heart. We want God to open your ears and open your life to what he has for you. And so it's interesting to see the question is, for other people, who are they praying to? Who are they offering up those prayers? See, we get to pray to a God that the Bible tells us always has an ear to our prayers. It's always listening. I love the fact that no matter what time I come to the Lord in prayer, I know I've got his attention. I don't have to make an appointment, you know, like a doctor's office. No, you pray and you have God's attention. It's always there. Prayer, see, prayer is not the answer to your problems. God is the answer to your problems. God is the answer to your problems through prayer. And so sometimes we can focus so much on prayer that we're missing the God of prayer. And so it's our job to look to God. See, prayer is the vehicle that gets us to reach to God. We don't need to be looking to prayer. We need to be looking at God and the prayers to God. And what I've looked in this particular area of Scripture, I've entitled today's message, Prayer That Gets Answered. And I ask you this morning, is there a prayer that you want to get answered this morning? If I were to just tell you to write down on a piece of paper, if you're taking notes or put it in your Bible, what is it you're praying for today? What's at the top of your prayer request list? And do you want that prayer answered? Of course you do. That's why it's at the top. You want it to be answered quickly. And I want to encourage you today that we're going to see in the scriptures today how prayer can be answered. And if our heart's desire is to see God's will be done, to truly give it over to God and to pray to God, well, then we certainly want to make sure we're doing the things that we're supposed to do to make sure that prayer gets answered. And I believe God shows us this. And I think it's going to be surprising to you as we look at it. prayer that gets answered. Again, look with me at verse 20, Mark chapter 11. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Stop right there for a minute. This is a great area of scripture for sure. But Mark, in his typical fashion, last week we started this story. It was a Monday as Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. He sees this fig tree, if you remember, and he's hungry. He goes up to the fig tree. There's no figs on it, and he curses the tree. And now, after he goes to Jerusalem, after he goes in the temple, and after he cleans things out, they go back to Bethany. Now, the next morning, it's now Tuesday. They're making their way again. It's just the next day. And I think it's so fascinating that the Bible tells us that on the route, the same one that they were taking back to Jerusalem the day before, Peter remembers about the tree. It was a day ago. And this comforts me, because I forget a lot of what happened yesterday. And what's interesting to me, it's on the same route. They're going the same path. I would almost think you'd be anticipating if this tree happened, anything happened to this tree. And so Peter looks and he goes, "Rabbi, look." Peter is so excited. He's amazed at what has happened. Listen, if you know anything about plants and gardens and trees, they don't die in a day. Unless God tells them to. And the beautiful thing about that is a reminder to us of the power of our God. Listen, probably most of us in this room would love our prayers to be answered that fast, the very next day. But that's the truth, isn't it? Our God can answer that fast. Our God can respond that quickly. He often lets it go a little bit longer because he wants to teach us something. But here he answers it that quickly. And prayer that gets answered, listen, if you're taking notes, prayer that gets answered remembers what Jesus did. Remembers what Jesus did. Do you remember the things God has done in your life? See, when I'm going through a difficult time, when you're going through a difficult season, it is a very good thing for us to take a step back, to take a breath, and to remember what God has done in my past and what God has done in your past. Isn't that encouraging to you? See, we can get real easy in our pity party, can't we? Oh, poor me, oh, the money's not enough money for the bills, or my job isn't going good, or my marriage is struggling. And we can get so caught up in the stress of it that we forget what God has done. And I think it's a great reminder that we need to remember what Jesus has done in our lives. And I love the fact that Peter sees the tree and he remembers what Jesus has done, and he goes, "Look, Lord, that tree that you cursed, it's withered." Notice from where? It's withered from the root. And guys, this is key, because the things that go on in our lives have a lot to go into the root of the issue. See, we can come into our Sunday morning best and look all good on the outside. We can even put a smile on. We can even look like we're in a good mood. But there's something going on inside. There's something in the root that's dying. There's something that's tearing us down. And if we can stop focusing on that thing and we can focus on what the root of the issue is, God can begin to work. And God can begin to restore. See, Jesus did a work. And I love the fact, if you remember, if you were here last week, Jesus verbally said to the tree, right? He says, "You shall never have fruit again on you." In fact, let's just go back to that. In verse 14, Jesus says, in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from you ever again." Jesus said it out loud. It wasn't for Jesus. It wasn't so that God could hear him. It was so that the disciples could hear him. In fact, I think it even says that. And his disciples heard it. It's good for us to have ears, isn't it? Especially in our time of prayer. We like to talk a lot. We like to ask God for things. We like to say things to God. And I hope we're thanking God and I hope we're praising God. But in your prayer time, there's also time to be hearing things. Also time to be thinking and to be responsive to what the Spirit is speaking. Roots are the secret part of our lives, aren't they? The root of the tree is down deep. It's unseen. What is going on in your life that nobody else sees, that nobody else is aware of? See, I've said this many times because that's the dangerous season in life, is when things behind the scenes, things that are buried underneath that no one else sees, things that are going on, and maybe it's anger, maybe it's frustration, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's just, you know, a bad relationship, whatever it is, there's something no one else sees. And we put on that front. Guys, that is the dangerous thing. See, Adam and Eve did what? They covered themselves. They covered their sin. We cannot cover. We need to expose the root to Jesus. And you need to let him do a work that only he can do in the root. See, the root begins to dry up and things begin to go wrong when you stop doing your devotions in the morning. When prayer really doesn't become a priority anymore. When fellowship with other believers just, you know, not that important. I don't want to be around other people. They're going to tell me what I need to do. That's when things begin to go awry. See, we need to make sure that we're staying close to the Lord and being in a place where God can work in us. God bless you. The root, the secret part of your life. Those are the things we need to expose. I am so thankful that there are people in our fellowship that are willing to put themselves out there, willing to say, this is what's going on, willing to say, this is what I'm struggling with. Would you pray for me? See, if you're just coming in here and going out and not sharing these things with anybody, you're not doing yourself any good. God can answer your prayers. God can do it in your own, no problem. But it's a time when we come together and we can be reminded. See, I need somebody in my life when I'm getting on my soapbox, when I'm starting to complain about things, I need somebody to look at me and go, hey, do you remember what God has done in your life? Don't be, and I get like that. I think I shared it last week. I mean, there was a season when I was getting so frustrated. It just seemed everything that people did, every text that I got, every email, every phone call, was like, man, just I was just getting down. I was getting discouraged. And thankfully, it was just the Lord that said, what are you complaining about? And I was like, you're right, Lord. And I even said it out loud. I even said, why am I being like this? What is causing me to have this bitterness? Why is every little thing just setting me off? And the Lord just reminded me. He's like, you just need to spend more time with me. Listen, I know that's something that pastors say, spend time with the Lord. But isn't that the truth? We really need to spend time with God. So if there are days or weeks or months that are going on in your life where you're just frustrated at everything, it's just an indication that you got to draw closer to God. Whether it's Bible study, whether it's fellowship, whether it's your own personal devotion, whether it's locking yourself in your room and crying out to God, whatever needs to be done, that's what we need to do. Because God's done it in your past, God's done it in your life, and if you remember, he'll do it again. And so that's what Peter says. He sees and he remembers that Jesus did something. And Peter was amazed. He looked at this tree, it's all dried up, dead from the roots. And it made me think, do we get surprised when God does the impossible? This was a miracle. Don't forget, the only negative miracle Jesus ever did was kill this poor fig tree as a picture for us. And it was a reminder to Peter, and it was a miracle, and we need not be surprised. I love when someone comes and tells me what God has done, a miracle in their life. And we're like, wow, praise God. But shouldn't we, as his children, expect him to do that? Shouldn't we expect God to do a miracle? I think so. I think if I expect a miracle in your life and you expect a miracle in my life, then when it comes, we're going to go, way to go, God. Praise the Lord. God is in the business of doing miracles. Jesus responds in a very interesting way, don't you think? Again, Peter, walking on the road, sees the tree, dead. Rabbi, look, the tree that you cursed yesterday is dried up from the roots. Look what Jesus says, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Isn't that an interesting response? Have faith in God. See, what happens is, when God does a miracle, when God does the impossible, it increases our faith. And so Jesus is reminding Peter, don't be so amazed. Have faith in God. And that's why I think Jesus out loud cursed the tree. I think he wanted them to experience this. I think they wanted him to them to grasp this, that we need to have faith in God. Notice the source of our faith. It's God, right? Too many churches, too many Christians think they need to have enough faith for their prayers to get answered. Isn't that usually what we think? Well, that's happening to you because you just don't have enough faith. You must have some sin in your life if you're not getting your prayers answered, because the Bible says if you ask, it will be given to you. See, if we're asking based on our own faith, based on our own ability, I don't think we're going to get our prayers answered. But if we're praying because we believe God can do something, I think that's a totally different thing. Isn't it a totally different perspective of faith? And I think that's why Jesus is saying, Peter, it's wonderful that you're amazed at something I've done, but have faith in God. Believe in God. Prayer that gets answers remembers what Jesus did, but also has faith in God. And so when you pray powerful prayers in the faith that God will do it, not in our own faith. See, don't we believe God is good? I knew he was going to say it. But when you hear somebody say, God is good all the time, what is that? It's a reminder to us that God's never not good. Even when God doesn't give us what we want, even when God corrects us, he's still good, isn't he? And if we truly believe God is good, then the fact is I can bring my request to him and he's not going to be mad at me. I can come to him and cast my cares upon him because he asked me to, because he's a good God. And I can share my concerns with the Lord knowing I'm not going to be chastised. God is a way of correcting us. He's a good God, and he loves us that much. Realizing that God is God, and he is good, and I'm not, and you're not. So therefore, if we're coming to God going, I got to just have enough faith to believe, then God will answer, boy, we've already failed. But if I come to God and believe I've got enough faith that God can do it, that's the difference. So I've shared that before. When people come up with their issues, their problems, their struggles, their difficulties, I get excited because it's an opportunity for God to display his strength. It's an opportunity for God to reveal his grace upon their life. And so that's why I'm excited, not because they're struggling. Nobody wants that. We want to see God answer. We got to rely on him and not on ourselves. And perhaps for someone in this room, you've been relying upon your own. You know, you feel like you're not getting the answer because you haven't prayed enough. You're not getting the answer because you didn't pray long enough or you didn't pray properly. Listen, if Jesus says, come to me like little children, you've heard a child pray before, haven't you? Grandpa, grandmama, my bike. I mean, they're simple, right? We come to God like we think we need to be theologians. Our Father who art in heaven. It's like, just pray from your heart. Say, Lord, you know I'm nothing, but I believe you're everything because you're good. And I've seen you work in my life. I've seen you work in other people's life. And I'm believing right now that you're going to work in my life. And that's the faith that we must have. Remembering what Jesus has done helps us get our prayers answered because we pray just like Jesus did. And we do the things that Jesus did. Notice here his response. As he continues in verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Oh, so wonderful area of scripture. Jesus says to Peter, have faith in God. And then what? If there's a mountain in your life, say to that mountain, be moved into the sea, and it'll be moved. It'll respond to you. And guys, I got to be honest with you, this was so refreshing for me to study this week, because I used to always think that this was about getting on my knees and praying that mountain to move. But did you notice what Jesus said? He didn't say pray that the mountain would move. He said say to the mountain, be moved. Speak it. Listen, I think this is so key. Because when we speak it, when we speak out loud, there's authority there. There's power there. Again, Jesus cursed the tree out loud. Jesus could have walked by that tree. He's God. Looked at it, and it would have withered, right? But he took the time to speak it so that the disciples would hear it, and then brought them by there again the second day to show the answer to that request. And there is authority in us to say these things, to speak them out loud. You know why? This is crazy. Because when I pray in private, if my prayer doesn't come to pass, nobody knows the difference. But if I pray it out loud, if I speak it out loud, and I'm believing out loud, guess what? It goes on record. Maybe my kids have heard it. Maybe my wife has heard it. Maybe people I know, my friends have heard it. Now, they heard Pastor Rob pray a prayer. What's going to happen? How's it going to happen? You know, praying for my back. We wanted God to heal it. And we saw some healing during that time. And then when it got bad again, I mean, honestly, part of me was kind of like, oh, Lord, why didn't you answer our prayer? But the thing I loved about our fellowship is people came around and said, God's going to answer it a different way, isn't he? I love that. Yes, because we believe God will answer, and he doesn't always answer the way we want. He's going to answer the way he wants. But to speak it. So I encourage us to speak out loud. Here's the thing I like about praying out loud and reading the word out loud is not only are you saying it, you're also hearing it. There's a difference. There's something that happens when you hear it. Right? You can hear it in your mind, but when you speak it out loud, you're speaking it to yourself, and you're proclaiming it to others. That's where the power comes from, is this faithful prayer that is being given out. See, Jesus says, if you say to the mountain, be moved, it'll be moved. It's that prayer of faith, of believing without doubting. Anybody in here doubt when they pray? Well, there's one. All of us, right? I mean, the little ones, you know, we can, oh, Lord, just give me peace today. Okay, yeah, well, I got through the day and I'm not dead. Okay, God gave me peace, right? I mean, that's good. But when we ask God to do the miraculous, when we ask God to do something that just would blow our minds, don't you in the back of your mind go, he's not going to do it. I don't deserve it. I haven't been good enough. That's the reality. That's the doubting. But if we're speaking it, if we're saying to something, be moved in Jesus' name, do you know the power there is there? Was it Paul? I'm trying to remember who it was. Well, it was Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said he would die for him, right? He would make sure that Jesus would never die. When Jesus turns to him and says what? Get thee behind me, Satan. It was at men's steak dinner Friday night. I was getting my big bowl of dessert at the end of the meal. See, I ate salmon, so I didn't gorge myself on a steak, a pound and a half steak. I gorged myself on dessert, though. As I was getting that, I said to one of the other guys, I said, hey, man, you want some dessert? He looked at me right now. He goes, get thee behind me, Satan. And I laughed. But that's, if someone's struggling, if someone's got something going on, you have to do that, right? So, I mean, that was an indication to me that I'm not going to press the issue. But how many of us take that kind of stand against the enemy? That take that kind of authority that Jesus has given to us and say, you know what, mountain in my life, you know what, difficulty that's in front of me, you know what, this physical pain in my life, be gone in Jesus' name. That's the authority God has given to us. To verbally speak it out. And to speak to it. That's what Jesus says. Verse 23, I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Doesn't say pray. And what's amazing to me, he doesn't say pray and it'll be gone. He doesn't say read your Bible and your circumstances will be changed. What does he say? He says speak. Be gone in Jesus' name. There is power and authority that has been given to us with the tongue, right? Blessings and cursings come from the tongue. I say the power comes by speaking it. And I want to encourage you this week, speak to your situations. certainly on your own quiet time. Just speak it out loud. I mean, this morning, as I was preparing for it, I was speaking truth over myself. There's power in this. There's power in this. We've often heard that prayer changes things, right? But that's not entirely true. Doesn't prayer change us? And it's faith that changes things. It's our faith. It's our belief. It's not doubting that we need to understand. Again, Jesus didn't say pray that the mountain might be moved. He said have faith in God and then verbally tell the mountain. See, it's God that's behind the wind in your sails. It's the Lord that is there to carry out the request if we believe in our hearts. You know, here's Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. Now, it doesn't say, so we may boldly think, so that we may boldly know. It says that we'll say these things, that we'll actually speak them out loud. How do you think your problems and your concerns would be if you constantly said, the Lord is my helper? The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. I don't know what it is you're going through. I know what some of you are going through because you've sent me emails and texts to be praying for you. And I want to encourage those people, say this. The Lord is my helper. I won't fear. If you're here today and you're fearful, say it. I will not. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Get thee behind me, Satan. Tell people, tell your problems what God says, right? Tell your problems what the Word says. Jesus spoke out loud and tells us to speak out loud to the mountain. Peter says to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. There's a reason for that. You're letting other people know that that's your confession. That's who your confidence is. And here, this is where Hebrews tells us to speak it out loud because of what God has told us through his word, the promises that he's given to us. So you might think, well, this just seems like positive confession. No. This is speaking it out loud. This is saying it out loud because that's when your faith begins to kick in. When I start to pray with someone and encourage someone to put their hope and trust in the Lord, something changes in them. There was a couple up here last Sunday that I was able to pray over. And I felt the Spirit of God fall upon us. And I'm telling you, this couple, they came up hurting and broken and sad. By the time they left, hearing the prayer, hearing the confidence that I had in God for them, they left encouraged. Now that isn't just because I know what to say. It's because God showed up. And so it is that verbal faith. Can my faith be strong enough for your problem? I hope so. Can your faith be strong enough for mine? How's your faith? That's what God is wanting to tell us, is to let our faith take the step. Whatever it is you've got going on in your life, greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. God wants victory for your life. God doesn't want to see you suffering. God doesn't want to see you going through this. And you might think it's just too overwhelming. Listen, God is bigger than it. And that's what we need to understand. See, I think there's a reason Jesus uses a mountain. I mean, maybe at the time he was looking at a mountain. But doesn't that what our problems feel like sometimes? They feel like a mountain, an unmovable thing. And I think you're speaking to the mountain to move out of my way so that I can continue to go. Because mountains will take us down. Mountains will take us out. Jesus taught in this area, he taught on faith. He didn't teach on prayer. That's the difference, isn't it? See, we can be so focused on prayer, 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 and we just need to make sure our faith is strong and is encouraged. The mountain that is standing in front of you today, I want you to go on record and say, be gone. Whatever it is that's hindering you, whatever it is that's holding you back, And maybe you're here today and you don't have a mountain. Maybe you're on top of the mountain and you're doing, that's wonderful. But we all know how life is, right? From mountaintop to mountaintop. Speak, be gone. Get out of my way in Jesus' name. Speak it. That's the authority that he has given to us. I would ask you to pray that and practice that this week. Whenever you begin to get frustrated, whenever you begin to overwhelm, just say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm casting this problem upon you because you care for me. The last thing, verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, now he's talking about prayer, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So, isn't this interesting? First he says, if we want our prayers answered, we got to remember what Jesus has done. We got to remove all doubt. And then we need to reflect the Father's heart. Reflect the Father's heart. You can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. But if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it short circuits your prayer. It hits the ceiling and bounces right back. Because there's bitterness, because there's, listen, nobody in here really believes they deserve to be forgiven, do they? Anybody want to raise their hand? We don't deserve to be forgiven. But yet God looks down by his grace and says, because you put your faith and trust in my son, I'm going to completely forgive you. I'm going to erase your sins. In fact, I'm not going to think about your sin ever again. And if you bring it up, I'm going to go, what are you talking about? That's God's perspective for us. That's his heart. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, you want your prayers to be answered? You need to forgive. And I know how hard this is. We all have that, hopefully a short list, of people that we have a hard time forgiving. But I'm telling you, you are in bondage until you get that list down to zero. Until you really, it maybe has to be a day, maybe a minute by minute, hour by hour thing. I forgive that person, I forgive that person, I forgive that person, until you completely forget. I love, this is the greatest definition of forgiveness, that you're not able to think about it anymore. That's how you know that you've completely forgiven someone. And as soon as you think about it again, you got to forgive them again. Jesus is saying, have faith in God. Speak with power. Speak with boldness. Proclaim it. And then also make sure that when you come to me in prayer, that you have forgiveness in your heart. I would encourage all of us that before we come to the Lord in prayer, number one, we say, Lord, remind me what you've done. Increase my faith in you. Help me to do what you want to do. And now guide me in my prayers and remind me right now if there's anybody I have bitterness in my heart towards. And in that moment, say, Lord, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive them. Because now that sets the stage for prayers to be answered, because if there's unforgiveness there, he cannot forgive us. I mean, Jesus said it very plainly. And one more verse I want to show you, and then one quote. Colossians. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's who we are, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Love that one. Forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also should do, might do, could do, must do. We must. Even as Christ. So it's hard for me to have bitterness towards someone else in my own heart when I think about God's loving heart towards me. If God loves me that much, and I'm a Christian called by his name, then I have to love them too. So to pray for your enemies, pray for those that have hurt you, pray for those that have wronged you. Listen, when you forgive somebody, you're not forgiving what they've done. You're forgiving them from doing it to you. So they no longer have a hold over you and no longer holding you back from God speaking clearly to you. If you don't forgive, Jesus says, neither will your Father forgive you. That's a big pill, right? It's a big pill. It's our job as Christians to represent the Lord properly, to act like him. So God bless you. So maybe there's people you got to go up to and say, I forgive you for what you did. That's hard, isn't it? But you know what a bold witness that is? What a powerful testimony that is to go up to someone and say, I forgive you. Some of us in this room need to forgive our folks. Some need to forgive our family members. There's relationships that are strained. And it's not easy. Jesus didn't say it's easy. He just said it's godly. I love this. Jesus is not talking about accumulating worldly goods. When we pray, we're not asking God to move a mountain so that we can have something. He's not asking us to accumulate worldly goods, but to obliterate worldly gods. Jesus is saying, you know what, mountain? Get out of my way. You know what, temptation? Get out of my way. You know what, 2018 Corvette? Get out of my way. That's something I got to pray about. Oh, good. I just don't want the 18. I'm pretty sure if nobody gets the hole in one, Pastor RJ gets the car, so he's probably praying against you. No doubt. No, Jesus is saying, don't pray for what you need. Speak to what you need to get out of your way so you can get closer to the Lord. Every single one of us in this room wants our prayers to be answered. And we just remember, we don't doubt, and we reflect the Lord's heart. And our prayers will be answered, and God will get the glory. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you, as always, for the power that's in your word. Lord, how amazing it is to know that we serve a God that is so, so good, that wants the best for each and every one of his kids. Just like an earthly parent would. But God, we pray that you would help us in these times where it's difficult. It's hard to stir up enough faith to believe, God. But it's not impossible to have faith in you. Because we've seen you do it. We know that you can. We pray that you would. God, I pray for each and every person here this morning. That whatever it is that's in their way, whatever it is that's blocking them from seeing you completely, whatever it is that's hindering them from walking completely upright and holy and righteous as Christ has given to them, I pray, Lord, that they would speak to that obstacle in the name of Jesus and it be moved out of their way. That they would walk in victory. That they would believe by faith that their God can do the absolute impossible, miraculous, and overwhelming. The fact that you do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask, God, is a display of your grace. So help us this week to speak bold prayers, to go on record as saying this is what we need in our lives in order to see our God more clearly. So bless us as we go. To you be the glory and to you be the praise. For it's in your name we pray, our Lord Jesus. Amen.